Today's reading is from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now, in the days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father, you promised us that as your word goes out from your mouth, it will not return to you empty. It will accomplish that which you purpose, and should succeed in the thing for which you send it. And so we ask now that your word would bear fruit in our lives and make us a people to your praise and glory. For Jesus' sake, amen. This January, the Washington Post reported, "Evangelical churches are growing." In April, the German IDEA magazine reported, "The worldwide evangelical church continues to grow, numbering up to 600 million people." Now, here in Germany, maybe at times we feel a little far removed from that growth. But we've seen some of it. Think of the growth of Evangelium 21. Think of the recent church plants here in Leipzig. Think of the growth of our own German service. Think back to 2007, maybe. Was anyone here in 2007? Anyone a member of LEC in 2007? In 2007, I asked Martin, we had 57 people on the church electoral roll, the church membership list. Now we have over 100. God is growing his church. Yet what could stop that growth? Well, so far in our series in the book of Acts, we've seen the early church growing from just a small handful of believers to a church of over 5,000. And we've seen, too, opposition to this growth. We've seen persecution, imprisonment of the church leaders. We've seen fakes inside the gospel community spreading deceit, Ananias and Sapphira. Now Acts 6, 1-7 warns of a new danger. And what could that be? Well, just imagine walking into church in Jerusalem during those early days, as it were. Imagine walking around and just soak in the atmosphere. People are wondering if the leaders are there or in prison. There's a bit of tension there, maybe, but there's great confidence in God's power to save. And imagine the thrill as you walk in meeting for meeting, week by week, and you see each week people who weren't there the week before. People who've become Christians and have turned from their sins and are trusting Jesus Christ. Imagine the thrill of seeing hundreds of new believers. And yet, growth comes with growing pains. And this brings us to our first point, really. Problem number one, the neglected widows. You see, growing churches are not problem-free churches. Look at verse 1. "In those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Luke's already told us in Acts about how the church was known for its generous care. People, believers, sold their possessions to provide for those who were in need in the church. And this is still going on here in verse 1, but it's become twisted. You see, in a society without any state-organized social care, widows without any children to look after them would starve. And so from the beginning, the church had cared for its members, it cared for those in need who needed help, particularly the widows. But here in verse 1, this love has grown cold. The Hellenists, that is, the Greek and non-Jewish widows, were being neglected when food was being distributed each day, and the Jewish widows were getting the food. And that Luke names the two nationalities, the two groupings of people, tells us that what we have here is racism. A situation had developed where people were thinking that they and their passport were better than you and your passport. And so one group of people were going hungry. Sadly, this wasn't the last time the church has embraced racism. Religious racism spreads like a garden weed every time the church forgets who it is in Christ. You ask, how does that work? Well, think with me about it. If our identity as believers is that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the boundary markers for who is in and out of church are really simple. If you believe in Jesus, if the Spirit has given you life in Christ, you're in, no matter what else might be true of you. Every believer in Christ is a brother and sister to every other believer in Christ. But if you forget that, what happens then? Well, when we forget our identity in Christ, then we start searching for another flag to sail under, another cause to make our own, another group to belong to. And with any other group and with any other flag and cause, there are different rules for who's in and out. So that something other than faith in Christ defines us. The Gospel says, Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And racism satanically denies that. And that's what was going on there in the early church. Now, there are many differences between Israel at the time of the early church and Germany today. We in Leipzig live in a country with a welfare state that provides for poor and needy people. Back then, that wasn't the case. Nevertheless, here at LEC, we do want to care for those in need. We want to help one another, want to provide for one another where we can. And this happens. Think of new parents and how people cook for them to provide food for them. Think of how those who have understood the wonderful happiness that is the German bureaucratic system, how they then help other people who are having their first dance with this little beast. Not that I'm bitter. Think of how we support one another when we realize that somebody needs help and care, attention, prayer. We don't want any member of LEC to be neglected as these Greek and non-Jewish widows were being neglected. It's one of the reasons we want to encourage as many people as possible to become part of a home group, so that no one slips through the cracks, that no one is anonymous and unknown, and so that all have the opportunity to experience Christian care and compassion and help. And we too must be on guard against racism. It's wonderful to look out at you and to see church members from so many different countries. It's a wonderful opportunity we have as LEC to show Leipzig what racial reconciliation and unity looks like. And yet with this wonderful opportunity, there is much for Satan to attack. And so we have to continue working hard here at LEC to be friends to one another, meaningful friends. And friends to those of us in the church who have different passports and different mother languages and different skin colours than we do. For God's grace, we don't want anyone in the church family to be neglected or forgotten. We don't want any room for racism in the church. And so we have a God-given privilege, a God-given perk and joy and responsibility of befriending one another. Because the reason God has brought us all together, different as we are, is that we learn to love each other just as God has loved us in Jesus Christ. So there's the problem in the early church, the neglected widows and the racism that was behind it. But this problem actually then reveals an even deeper problem, an even worse problem. That's our second heading. Problem number two, the neglected word. Sooner or later, the widow's complaint reaches the 12 apostles who are working as the elders and the pastors of the church at the time. People had probably said to them, listen, this is a mess. You take over the food distribution. And that would then explain how the apostles react, or at least a little bit of their reaction, in verse 2. It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Imagine if the 12 apostles had to deal with every single problem in a church of roughly 5,000 to 6,000 people. 12 apostles to deal with all the legal aid as people were arrested for following Christ. 12 apostles to deal with the food distribution and the counseling of all those new converts. 12 apostles to deal with all the discipleship work. And, of course, to deal with all the weekly emails. If the apostles devoted themselves to all these things, they would have no time for anything else. And that's the problem here. That's the problem that they object to. This important issue of the neglect of the widows, of the racism behind it, is threatening now to sideline the ministry of the word, the preaching and teaching of the word. Now, it could be that you hear about this and you think, these apostles are a pretty weird bunch. That is an outrageous set of priorities they're showing. How can preaching be more important than feeding hungry widows? How can teaching be more important than community welfare and stability? Such an outrageous set of priorities that in practice many churches have distanced themselves from what the apostles are doing here. So that for them, social care becomes more important than teaching the Bible. But there's no doubt that the apostles' biggest priority was teaching God's word. I mean, look down at verse 7. Verse 7 is the kind of the end to this little episode. Verse 7 doesn't tell us a thing about what happened with the widows. It doesn't tell us anything more about how the racism was fought. Verse 7 tells us about the word of God and its work. And that was Luke's priority in recording this event for us because it was the priority of the apostles, the priority of the early church, to see the word at work. And so maybe that's leaving us asking why. Why don't the apostles just roll up their sleeves, get involved? Why are they so afraid of neglecting God's word? Well, the clue's in the name, isn't it? The word of God. God has not remained silent. Have you ever just paused to think about that and give thanks for the fact that God has not remained mute in human history? God has spoken through the Old Testament, through Jesus Christ, and through his apostles. He's spoken clearly and truthfully to us, not leaving us to guess about who we are and what this world is like and whether there's a God or not. And we have his word here in the Bible. And so our greatest need is to hear and embrace our Creator's word to us. But you see, there's even more to it. There's even more to it because our relationship with God is not just creature-creator. Our relationship with God is also sinner and saviour and judge. You see, we've all turned our backs on God. The longing for self-sufficiency, the longing for control over our own lives and over the lives of others that we so often feel inside us, know inside us, that's just a symptom. A symptom of how we're trying to banish God, how we're trying to rule over his creation and over ourselves without him. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And as a result of that, we are all guilty and deformed before him without excuse. And yet the Bible doesn't just tell us of this, it also tells us the most wonderful news, better than any fairy tale or happy ending you could ever think of. The Bible tells us of God's everlasting kindness and how in his great tenderness he sent his very own son, not just an angel or a messenger, but his very own beloved son, whom he treasures above all things. And how this beloved son became on the cross sin for us. How on the cross Jesus Christ took all that separates us from God, all that makes us vile in God's sight, and Jesus took it all and bore it, carried it, paid for it, so that he could lift us into life with God, so that rising from the dead he could win for us eternal life to share with us, to give to us for free. A wonderful message God's word has. And if you're here this morning and you know you're not a Christian, we're so happy you're here. We hope you feel welcome among us. Do you see what good news God's word has for you? It tells you of a God who would love to give you his very own son, to give you life in Christ, to give you acceptance and forgiveness, to give you reconciliation and friendship with him. And all you have to do is not just work your way up to it, but simply receive Christ by faith. Simply trust in Christ. And he's yours. The best gift ever. Well, the apostles prioritized preaching because God gives us his salvation through the preaching of his word. Remember what Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And the book of Acts just gives us loads of examples of this. Think back to Acts 2. Peter preaches and talks about the Christ, and 3,000 people become Christians on that day. The end of Acts 2, the church devotes itself to the apostles' teaching of God's word, and Luke records that people were daily being brought to faith. Or look at the end of Acts 5. Look at Acts 5:42. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they, that is the apostles and the church leaders, did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Under God's grace, that is the reason why chapter 6 begins as it does. Chapter 6, verse 1, the disciples were increasing in number. The word of God creates the church of God. The word of God creates the church of God. Think about it. This is how Jesus Christ cares for us as his church. Jesus Christ creates his church, forgives his church, guides and guards and nourishes, protects, blesses his church through his word. It's how he loves us to himself and all the way home to heaven. Do you see now how the apostles' priority makes sense? There's no hope without God's word. There's no change amongst the local church embattled with sin and with racism. There's no change in that situation without the preaching of God's word. And how grateful we can be that the apostles didn't neglect God's word, because, dear friends, without it, if they'd neglected it, we'd have nothing. We'd have no hope, no comfort, no forgiveness. We would be trapped and alone in sin and sorrow. Well, thankfully, they didn't neglect God's word. And so that leads us then to the question, well, how does the Jerusalem church deal with these problems? And that's our third heading, the solution, the workers increase. Have a look at verse 3 with me. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. The solution isn't to divert and distract the apostles from their teaching. The solution is to appoint, to raise up new workers. And not just any workers either. They've got to fulfill certain criteria. They've got to be Christians. They've got to be part of the Jerusalem church. The apostles say, pick out from among you. They've got to have a good reputation among the church. They've got to be known for their godliness and not for their sins. Men through whose words and lifestyles had showed that they were full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. Now, to be full of wisdom, reassuringly for me, in verse 3 doesn't mean that they need to have two doctorates and a postdoc. It probably means something like verse 5, where we see that Stephen has a parallel description. He's full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. It's probably the same meaning there. These should be people who've taken the gospel to heart. People whose lives just taste and smell of God's goodness, of God's grace. People who are an example to others in the church. And then finally, and practically there in verse 3, there should be 7 of them. There's got to be enough people to get the job done. Well, friends, as we look at verse 3, I wonder, is this your goal? To keep pressing on into God's word, to make every effort to grow. To grow in the faith and be filled with the Spirit so that as needs arise here at LEC, you can join in and serve. And what blessings we do know here at LEC, because so many of us here, so many people are sort of wonderful models of this, full of faith in the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing to look at each other and to see that Christian maturity is worth every effort as we look at the lives of other church members around us. And so verse 5, the Jerusalem church chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmesan, and sorry, that's the autocorrect on my typewriter, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. And having chosen these workers, they brought them before the apostles, who laid their hands on them and prayed for them. Nothing magical there, nothing super special about that. It's just a sign that these people were being formally set apart for a church role, for a church ministry. And now that the church has chosen extra workers to take care of the food distribution, what then will the apostles do? Look at verse 4. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It's wonderful, isn't it, that statement? There's no distractions, there's no doubts, there's no ifs and buts. There's just a clear and bold goal. The ministry of the word and prayer. The ministry of the word refers primarily to preaching and teaching done by those in leadership in the church. But in a broader sense, it's any occasion when any believer in Christ just opens up his mouth and speaks the Bible's truth. Prayer here is linked to the word, and so we can rightly assume, I think, that it's most likely prayer to understand God's word, prayer for faithfulness in teaching God's word, prayer for fruit from God's word. Prayer and the ministry of the word, these are the tools that Jesus uses by his Spirit to build his people. And that's why, as pastors at LEC, we spend time praying for you, lots of time praying for you, and preparing to preach the word to you, to minister the word to you. These apostolic priorities are our priorities, and these are what you should expect from us, above and beyond almost anything else, that we would devote ourselves, give ourselves wholeheartedly to prayer and to the word. And therefore, friends, please do continue to pray for us. Pray that we would abide in these things, that we would pray more and pray more earnestly, and that we would preach better. And that we would have wisdom and endurance. And when you visit other churches on holiday, or when you think of other churches here in Leipzig, these are wonderful things to be praying for those churches, especially the churches here in Leipzig in the Evangelical Alliance, whom we're united to in a special alliance, really. Pray this too for the students, those studying theology at the University of Leipzig. Germany does not need any more pastors who have abandoned prayer in the ministry of the word. Germany desperately needs pastors with this apostolic devotion. So there's the solution to the problem. Increase the workers so that the apostles can continue in prayer and in ministering the word. Well, what can we hope for here at LEC if we follow that pattern? If we have our various teams taking care of various needs in the church, and continue to devote ourselves to the word and prayer. Fourth and final point, the outcome, the word increases. Look at verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Maybe it's a slightly strange or confusing picture for you. The word of God increased. That doesn't mean that people's Bibles began to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's a picture more of something like seed being thrown out. And as the seed increases, well, it does so by growing and bearing fruit. And so as the Bible and God's message was preached, as it was just thrown out so generously in Jerusalem, it grew and bare fruit in people's lives. And isn't it wonderful what it says there? The number of disciples continue to increase, multiplying greatly. This isn't slow church growth where you barely notice it. There's no hint of stagnation. This is revival. This is God working in extraordinary ways to bring people to himself in extraordinary numbers. This is God working to break through the hardest of barriers so that we read even some of the priests, even many of the priests, became obedient to the faith, became Christians. Friends, what an encouragement for us. How easy it is for us to just slightly lower our expectations. Bit by bit. Our expectations when we come to the Bible, when we come to church, when we go to home group, or when we share the gospel with other people. What an encouragement to persevere. What an encouragement for us as preachers. What an encouragement for all of us to keep on sharing God's word. To keep on praying that God would be at work bringing fruit. And so let's not abandon the ministry of the word and prayer, then. That's the one thing that would kill church growth straight away. Let's not abandon these things. And let's not abandon our hopes for great results. It is wonderful to see how LEC has grown. It's wonderful to see how other churches in Leipzig are growing. And yet let's keep praying for a day when in every school and bar and home and Verein in Leipzig, people are talking about Jesus and his gospel. If God could do it for Jerusalem, there is nothing stopping him doing the same for Leipzig. And when he does it, if he does it, it will be through ordinary means, through the ministry of the word and through prayer. God's word creates God's church, and so God's church is to spread God's word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for the clear blueprint we get for your church here in these verses. We thank you for how you warn us of the dangers of forgetting our identity in Christ. We cry out to you, Father, that you would keep us remembering who we are in Jesus. Help us to be conscious, aware, confident of our identity in him day in, day out, so that we would not build barriers against other people, so that we would be able to be warm and welcoming, so that we would care for one another, no matter what we might have in difference. Father, we pray too that you would keep us as a church focused on your word. We pray that you would keep us focused on prayer. And Father, we long for fruit. We long that you would stretch out your arm to save, and that we would see something of what the disciples and the early church saw in Jerusalem. Father, we do pray that through the ministry of the gospel here in Leipzig, you would grant revival. That we would see friends and family and neighbors come to faith in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.